Okay, so we're on Pei Zion. Okay, so yesterday we learned two sequences in the Gemara. One sequence begins with the Bat Yisrael, one begins with the Bat Kohen. So just to give a synopsis to the Mishnah, which we did yesterday, the Bat Yisrael marries the Kohen, she goes to the top of the list and now eats Truma. He dies, but she's got a child, so she can still eat Truma. Then she marries a Levi, so the marriage to Levi supersedes everything else. Now she can't eat Truma anymore, but she can eat a Maaser. Then the Levi dies, but he's got a child, but she has a little child with Levi, so she can continue eating Maaser. Then she marries Yisrael, that supersedes everything. Now she's cut off from the Truma and from the Maaser. And then he dies, but she's got a son. She can't eat Truma, she can't eat Maaser. But if her son from the Israel dies, then she goes back and eat the Maaser. If the child from Levi dies, then she goes back to eating Truma. And if if the son from the Kohen dies, then she can't eat Truma, she can't eat Maaser. Okay, that was the basic idea in the first part of the Mishnah. And then, all right, let me. I think we're ready for the Gemara, and then we'll let's see if we need the second part. We'll need later on. Okay, so the Gemara says, and the first line of the Gemara on Pesayim and Aleph, Mei Benami Levi Tochal B'Truma. So the Gemara is quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if her son from the Levi dies, now she's on the, you know, going back to their old way. Now she can eat Truma, even though he was the Bat Yisrael. So the Hadra Akla Mishnah Benar. She can go back eating the Truma because she had a son with the Kohen. So if everybody else is dead, then she's just left with the son from the Kohen, she can eat Truma. She's about Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Benalan, where do we know this halacha from? That if you have a Bat Yisrael who has a son from the Kohen, she can continue eating Truma. So Amar Biyaba Amarav, Bat Ubat. So he says, now, you know, I didn't bring up the Chumash with me, but it's okay. I have Sukkim here. One second. Give me one second. Okay. So Yosef's going to get the Chumash. While he gets the Chumash, I'll explain a little bit. So there's a pasuk that says, "Ubak Kohen Tehila Yizar." Ubak Kohen, the Pshuto Shemikra sounds like she marries a non Kohen, is the way it sounds like. That she can't eat the Truma, Yiba Truma Kadashim Lo Tochel. But Chazal say it's really talking about a Bak Kohen who marries somebody who's Pasul. But either way, Chazal understand. When he gets the Chumash, we'll talk in a second. Anyway, so the Torah could have said Bat, and it says Ubat. So this is really the second pasuk. I made a mistake in something I said before. But let me wait until he gets the Chumash up. One second. Anyway, it says Bat Ubat. So we could have said Bat, and it says Ubat. So we're going to darshan out that not only, okay, here he came with the Chumash. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, let me just open the Chumash. Give me one second. It's in Parshas Emor. One second. Yeah. Okay. Page 678 in the Art Scroll. So there are two psukim here. So So we're talking about the second pasuk. So it says in pasuk Yud Gimel. It says this is the Perek Kafei pasuk Yud Gimel. Uvat Kohen Kiti Almana Grusha. The Bat Kohen will be an almana or a grusha, widow or divorcee, bezera in law. She has no children. The shaval be rabbi kinurim and lechem be a tochel. Huzar lo yoch kabo. So she's a Bat Kohen. She grew up eating truma. Then she marries somebody, but now she's a grusha or an almana. She has no children. She can eat the truma. But the Gemara has a drasha. It could have said Bat Kohen. It says u Bat Kohen, at a Bat Kohen. So the Gemara is darshaning out that there's somebody else who can eat the truma, in other words, and that's the woman who has the child, who's a Kohen. That's what the Gemara is darshaning out. So see back in the Gemara. In other words, she also ate truma initially when she was married to the Kohen. Then she had the child, but then she married a Levi, and then she was cut off from it, and then she had children, and then Yisrael. But everybody's dead except for her and the child. Then she's like the Bat Kohen, and she can go back to eating truma. And what I said about the other pasuk. With the pasul is the earlier pasuk, so we'll see in a minute. So Menalan, so Amar Biyaba Amarav Bat Ubat. So it says Bat, but it could have said Bat, but it says Ubat. So that's where we have the drasha from. So the Gemara says, come on. So according to him, is that Drasha? Mistama, Rabbi Akiva, the Darish Vave. Mistama, that goes like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is Darish the Vave. And Rashi brings down the Gemara on the fourth narrow line in Rashi. Rabbi Akiva, Darish Vave, Perk Arba Mitot. I'm the Rabbi Akiva, Yishmael Achi, Badu Badani Doresh. He says, I'm Dorish like the extra above. So back in the Gemara, Avilu Tamer Rabbanan. The Gemara says, you could even say this Rashi goes like the Chachamim, who don't Darish in the Vavs, and are Mechulik with Rabbi Akiva. Because the whole word ubat is superfluous. Why? Because if you look in the chumash, I don't know if you have a chumash in front of you, but the previous pasuk Yud Beis says ubat kohen kitelizar. Then it says in Yud Gimel ubat kohen. So didn't have to say ubat kohen here. You could say ubat kohen kitelizar. He began kushim luchel, and then kitiyam and arushab zereinla. So the whole phrase is superfluous. So even the chachamim can subscribe to this lever. All right. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, moving on. Now, so we're up to Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, we're on Pesayin Amin Aleph, around 10 lines down in the Gemara. So Tanu Rabbanan, Kshi Chozeret, Chozeret L'Truma Aveinu Chozeret L'Chazei B'Shog. So it means, now we're talking about a Bat Kohen. We're moving away from the Mishnah, and we're talking about the Pesukim. So Bat Kohen, who was eating Truma growing up, and she marries, let's say, a Yisrael, and she in divorce or he dies, whatever, and no children, she goes back to eating truma. So the Bryce says when she goes back, she just goes back to truma. She doesn't go back to eating chazei v'shok, as we've discussed in the past, by Korban Shlamim, the Kohen is entitled to chazei v'shok, the breast and the right foreleg. So that's like the din in Kachim Kalim. So he eats it in Yerushalayim. So all the members of his family could eat it, but if the daughter got married, she can't eat it anymore. So Amrav Chista Amar Ravina Barshila Maikra. That's the Brisa. So Rav Chista says the name Ravina Barshila. What's the pasuk that supports that? That teaches me that when she's a Bat Kohen and then gets married and then divorced or widowed, that she can go back to Truma, but not Chazei B'Shok. So it says he betrubana kadoshim lo tochel. So again, this is going back to the Psukim. So I don't know if you have a chumash open, but in the article, page 678, pasuk Yudbeis, the zubat kohen kili zar he b'tshuvan a kaddishim lo tochel. If a bat kohen will be married to an izar, he b'tshuvan a kaddishim lo tochel. So Chazal really darshan this pasuk as relating to a bat kohen who has relations with somebody who's pasul to her, so she can't eat the truman a kaddishim. But the Gemara here is a drasha, he b'tshuvan a kaddishim lo tochel. So the Gemara darshans it out. He says, back in the Gemara, that which is lifted off from the Kaddishim, which would be the Chazei B'Shok, she can't eat. So, one second. Yeah. Anyway, that's the way the Gemara darshens this pasuk. Okay, so again, so we're saying that there's a difference between, a bat kohen, that's going back to eating the old truma, but she loses the right to chazei b'shok. Rav Nachman amar Rav Baravua milechem v'lo kol lechem. This is a different drasha for the same idea. So it says that again, a pasuk Yud Gimel milechem avia tochel, from her father's bread she'll eat milechem v'lo kol lechem prat lechazei b'shok. So lechem, the way Rashi points out, it doesn't have to mean bread. Like the Gemara, Rashi quotes a pasuk in Sefer Daniel, Belshazzar Malka Abad Lechem Rav. The Belshazzar made a big banquet. Lechem Rav is a big banquet. So it means that she eats from her father's food, but milachem from it, not all of it. Tekinah the Chazei B'Shok. So Matkiv Rami Barachama, Ema Prafar Nidarim. So Rami Barachama says, maybe milachem is to say that she's excluded from her father's ability to be made for her Nidarim. As you know, I'm sure from the beginning, we'll have this coming up in Masechet Nedarim, which is coming up in another, much closer, after
4 weeks, right?
After Ksubas. After Ksubas, I think we have Nedarim. So Ksubas is coming up in 4 weeks, and Ksubas is, let's say, a few months, and then we'll have Nedarim. So a few months from now, we have Masechet Nedarim. So it says in Parshat Matot that the father, if she can be made for his daughter's Nedarim. So maybe it's Pratla Farat Nedarim, meaning that once, we'll see in a minute, so that once she's left the father's house, he can't be made for a nedarim for her. So we'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says, even if she's coming back to the house for the truma, he can't be made for a nedarim. So Amar Rava, for Paskat Tadabit Rishmael. So the question is, why don't I have that drasha from here? So the Gemara says, that limud, I know from Tana the Beit Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana the Beit Rabbi Shmuel, Bryce was taught in the Beit Spanish Rabbi Shmuel, the Neder Amana Grusha, Kosher Asheron Afshayin Kamalea. The Neder of an Amana Grusha, it has to remain. In other words, once she's an Amana Grusha, she's not under the father's supervision, she's not under the Baal's supervision. So whatever she Neder she does, it stays with her. So the Gemara says, Ma Talmud Lomar, Lomutsa Meklal Av, Lomutsa Meklal Baal. Why do I think otherwise? She's not in the father's rishus. She's not in the husband's rishus. Why would I think that anybody has rishus over her? Ella, the Gemara says that the limud of Bnei Ramana Grusha Yekum Aleha means the case that the Gemara is going to darshan is a more like sophisticated case. Ella Reisha Masara Av L'Shluchi Abal. Let's say the father gave his daughter over to the Shluchi Abal. In other words, the daughter went through Erus and was living with the father. Now it's time for the Nisuin. So, you know, I don't know where the husband lives or whatever, but, you know, it's like the coach, like in the fairy tales, whatever. So the father gives her over to the shluchim from the Baal, who are going to take her from the Nisuin. Or the shluchim from the father give her over to the shluchim Baal. And then it's Armlo and it Garsha Badera. Then before she gets to the husband's house, which she was married to him, which is Kedushin, but she didn't have Nisuin. So before the Nisuin are performed, he either dies or he divorces her. It was like a short wedding situation. How can I say that she's in her father's house or in the husband's house? So the Pasuk is teaching me, this is Neder Almana Grusha, is teaching me that once she leaves the father's domain and he gives her over to the Shluchi Abal, you know, for Nisuin, and then before she gets to the Baal, for Nisuin, she's widowed or divorced, the Pasuk is teaching me she's not under either one's, and she made a Neder. She made a Neder along the way. After she left the father's house, she made a Neder. So the Neder is not subject to revocation by the father or by the husband. That's what the Pasuk is teaching me. So Mamela, I know this din already. So the Gemara, that's the fancy case the Gemara is teaching. Benader Almana Grusha, she's an Almana Grusha, but not the typical Almana Grusha. So Melam, that's what, so I don't need to learn that from Elechem. Let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause in a minute and we'll summarize, okay? So the Gemara says, Rav Safra Amar, Elechem Avia Tochel. Rav Safra says from the same phrase, but a little bit different. From her father's Lechem or food she'll eat, Lechem below basar. Here he's learning bread, not meat. Meaning that if she's a returning widow or divorcee and she's a bat kohen, she can eat the bread items. She can eat the truma, which is, you know, growing crops, but not the basar, the meat she can't have. Rapapa amar, mi lechem av yitochel, that she can eat from her father's lechem. Here you can say the food. Lechem akenui lavia, the food that belongs to the father. Lechem avia, here from her father's food she can eat. This comes to exclude the Chazei B'Shok. Even though the Kohanim eat it, it's not really their property. There was Mishulchan Gavoa Kazak, the Zoka Kibyachol, like from God's table. In other words, they're allowed to eat from Ribon Shalom's food, but it's not his food. So when it says, so he's the drash of the Pasuk to show that she's not entitled to Chazei B'Shok, Milechem Avia Tochel, she can eat from her father's food, as opposed to Chazei B'Shok, which is really the Ribon Shalom's food. And then we have more Lingudim. The Rava Amar, the first white line, this pasuk is in Parsha Shmini. It says the Shokha Yamin, like the right foreleg, you'll eat you and your sons and your daughters with you. Bisman she'itach, when they're with you, you can eat it. I mean, she went off and she did something else, so she's not considered itach. She says, one second. Now, Amar Avada Barava, in five lines, I'm going to summarize and take questions. So Amar Avada Barava, Tana taught in a brisa, she choseret l'beit aviya, choseret l'truma, v'eino choseret l'chazei b'shok. Then when she goes back, bat kohen, to her father's house, She goes back to Truma, but not to the Chazei B'Shov. B'Shvil Bana, but if she's a Bat Yisrael, and she married a Kohen, so she was eating Truma, and then she had a son with him, but then she married somebody else, and then we like in the Mishnah, and then her right to Truma terminated, but she married Levi, whatever, and then the Levi died. So I'm making this short. Now she's going back to eating Truma because of the son. He says, B'Shvil Bana, Chozeret Af L'Chazei B'Shov. If the ticket to food is not that she's a Bat Kohen, the ticket to food is because she was married to a Kohen and has a son who's a Kohen, then she can even eat the Chazei B'Shov. Azal Rav Mordechai, Amr L'Shmai to come into Rabashi. So Rav Mordechai went and he taught this halacha before Rabashi. If you're a Bat Kohen, you're married, you're widowed, you only get back to Truma. But if you're a Bat Yisrael and you're married to a Kohen and you have a son and then the marriage terminates, then you get everything. So he says, Amar Mehech Kametrabia. So he says, where do we know that the woman who was married to Kohen, the Bat Yisrael, that she's entitled to eat anything? We know it from the Pasuk Ubat. That's what we said in the beginning of the Sugya. That was in Pasuk Yud Gimel, right? Ubat Kohen Ki Amana Ugrusha, Ubat. So he says, Mi Ubat. So Mi Adifa Lamina. Why should she be in a superior position? In other words, if she's a Bat, in other words, we're learning it from the same word that teaches me that a Bat Kohen is entitled to eat Truma, even though she went through marriages. Why is the woman who's a Bat Yisrael, who is married to the Kohen, and we're learning her limud from the same word, Ubat, it says above there, why is she in a superior position than the Bat Kohen? It was she goes to Chazei B'Shov, and the other one just gets the Truma. So he says, so Mia Difa Lamina, why is she more important than Bat Kohen? So my answer is, Hatam Tivim Yute, Hatlo Tivim Yute. That we have a Mia that teaches us that, and we've learned the different Amorayim. There's a Mia that teaches me that the Bat Kohen indeed is excluded from the Chazei B'Shov. But the Ashes Kohen, the Bat Yisrael, was married to a Kohen. We don't have any mutant for her, so she's not excluded. Okay, now we're going to summarize, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So the basic idea we got into, we're a little bit moving away from the Mishnah slightly. We got into the issue, how do we know that a Bat Kohen Bat Kohen is from the Pasuk is entitled to Truma, but then we said, how do we know in the Mishnah, how do we know Bas Yisrael that was married to Kohen has a son? How do we know that's from the word Bat? Then we said, when the Bat Kohen goes back to eating Truma, she only goes back to Truma. She doesn't go back to Chazei B'Shov. Then the Gemara had a series of limudim to teach me that that's true. They had about a half a dozen. It says, "He b'truma nakadashim lo tochel." She can't eat truma nakadashim, that which is removed from kadashim, which would be the Chazei B'Shov. Then we had another limud that milechem avia tochel. He says, I left one out here. One second. He says, yeah. He says, milechem alo kol lechem. She eats food, but not all the food. Milechem means the meal, the food. Then Rav Safra said, milechem alo tochel lechem alo basar. She eats bread, with the bread-like items, the truma, the grain, things like that, but not the meat. And Rav Papa said, milechem alo tochel lechem alo lavia. She can eat from her father's food, is his father's food, as opposed to the chasev shok, which is ribono shel olams. And then we have another pasuk in Parshat Shmini that says, "If you shokat truma, you will eat you, Aaron, and your sons. Atel vanech v'notecha itach. The whole family itach. Bizman sheitach. When they're still with you. Once they go out, then they can't eat the chazei b'shok. Okay, but we said though, if she's an Ashes Israel that's married to a kohen, and then the kohen dies, so she's cut off. But if she has a son, then she eats the truma and she eats the chazei b'shov. Even if she, in between, she was married to a lady, then it was cut off, and the lady dies, she goes back to truma and the chazei b'shov. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that I did so far? You had a question. Yosef, yeah. And then I'll come to everybody. Yeah, what's up?
How much? Woman's engaged. Who can cancel her? Sorry. Anybody?
Well, no. When she's only Erusin, she's still in the father's house. The father can be. I think the Gemara learns both can do it. I think the Gemara learns both the father and the. I think the husband and the father have to get together. That's what the Gemara learns.
How old is she?
For the Hapart and the Darm?
No, her father. This stage that her father sent her to get married.
Yeah. So.
She has to be under
12. One second. So let me see. Parshas Matot. One second.
You all have to
12. One second. Yeah, no. But one second. Yeah, it doesn't say that it's limited in age. It sounds like if she's still in the father's house, it sounds like. I'm not sure. I have to review it. But it doesn't sound like it's in. It's limited to a period of time. One second. Oh, no. But they don't even know. I made a mistake. Yeah. Wait. Yeah, you're right. So it's 12 and a half. So 12 and a half. Okay. Who's now? Anybody in the cyber world have any questions? Okay, I'm moving on. Okay. All right. We have three in the cyber world. Make it four in the cyber world. Okay. Did you want to say something, Fern? Are you good? Okay.
All right. No, I was showing four. How many people do you have in the real world?
All I have is Yosef here. Okay, now. Okay, now we're on the fifth wide line on page 9 of an hour. Okay, that. Now, this is the second part of Mishnah. Let me just give a brief summary for the second part of Mishnah, which we did yesterday. That's the reverse case of the first part. So the first part, we start off with the Bat Yisrael that was married to Kohen. Now we start off with the Bat Kohen, she's married to Yisrael. So like she crashes. So she can't eat the Truma. If he dies and she has a son with him, she still can't eat Truma. Then she marries a Levi, she can't eat Maaser. If he dies and she has a son, she can't eat Maaser. Then she marries a Kohen. Each one supersedes the previous one. So her final husband is a Kohen, so she can eat Truma. If he dies and she has a son, she can continue to eat Truma. In other words, is that superseded everything else? The last marriage superseded everything. Then if her son dies from the Kohen, she can't eat Truma. Son dies from Levi, she can't eat Maaser. If son dies from Israel, then she goes back to eating like Beit Aviyah, like in other words, eating the Truma, but not the Chazeh B'Shok. By the way, you know, I saw there was a blurb in the Art Scroll when we spoke about a Katlanit last night. So there are some opinions that hold that if she has children with the husband, she's not a Katlanit. So according to that, she wouldn't be a Katlanit. Okay, well, that's what I just saw. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. So on the fifth white line, back when she said, so we said, if everybody, she's a Bat Kohen, she starts with a Bat Kohen, has a whole journey in life, but if everybody is dead at the end, then she goes back to her father's house. So Bat Kohen, she said, so Tana Rabbanan, the Shaval Beit Aviyah, she goes back to her father's house, Prat L'Shomeret Yavam. In other words, Shaval Beit Aviyah, she goes back to her father's house when she's got nothing connecting her to her old life. But if she was married to, let's say, a husband in Israel and he died, but there's a Yibam situation, and she still has Zika with the Yavam, then all bets are off. And then it says, Kinu'ureha, like Kinu'ureha, Krat Lumuberet. In other words, that excludes if she's pregnant, she's carrying a child, then she can't eat the Truma either. So the Gemara says, V'lo Dinu. The Gemara says, why do we need the Pasuk Kinu'ureha? I can learn from a Kal V'chomer, I will know this without the Pasuk. So what's the Kal V'chomer? Means that if a woman is married to husband number one and has a child with husband number two, then he dies, whatever. She marries husband number two and has no children with husband number two, then the fact that she has a child with husband number one is irrelevant in terms of Yibum. Right, it's a different husband. So he says, so a child from husband number one is irrelevant in terms of Yibum, but if she's pregnant in the Yibum situation, that changes the whole situation. Like the Gemara says, Zera Ein La, Ayena La. You have to investigate every situation. So if she's carrying a child, there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza. So it means, even though children from first marriage don't count, the fetus does count. So a situation where she was a Bat Kohen and she married husband number one, had a child with husband number one. And then husband number one died, and then she marries husband number two. And then he dies. Well, she's still blocked off from eating Truma because she has a child with husband number one. That's the very impediment for her going back to eating Truma, right? Are you with me? I need everybody focusing. Okay, now, a Bat Kohen, she marries the Yisrael, and she has a child with Yisrael. He dies. She's still can't eat Truma. She marries a Levi. He dies. So now the only left is she and the child from the Yisrael. She can't go back to eat Truma. So the child from the first marriage does matter. She blocks her off. He says, the Vlam Nashim, the postman of Truma, ain't Odin, does say Uber Kialid. So Kava Homer, that if she's Muberet, in other words, if in a case by Gibom, the child from the first marriage didn't marry, but the Yalud, the Yipidus did. So here we know the child from the first marriage in terms of going back to Eden Truma does matter. So certainly the fetus should matter. So I don't need the pasuk. I know it logically. So the verse is low. The two are distinguishable. When you say that the fetus is like a born child by Yibam, yeah, but by Yibam, even a dead child is like a living child, meaning if at the time of the death of her husband she had a child who was alive, so and then there's no Yibam, no Chalitza. If 6 months later that child is run over by a car and is dead, she doesn't have a requirement of Yibam or Chalitza, that as long as she had a child, that's it. So he says, Nase Uber Kialud. So there we say that the fetus counts as a Yalud. But by Truma, well, we don't say that if she had a child, let's say with Israel, the Bat Kohen, and then he died, you know, in other words, he dies at some point in time, we don't say, well, you know, then that's it, now she can go back. So Tamil Omar, Kinurea, Patlu Beres. Kinurea teaches me, so I wouldn't know it logically because there is an important distinction between the Truma case and the Yibam case. But Kinurem teaches me that if she's pregnant, that indeed she can't eat the truma. So now the Gemara says, "Itzriach lemechtav." Wait 1 second. Wait 5 lines. I'll come to you. "Itzriach lemechtav kinureha." The way Bach has kinureha lemiuti muberet. I need one word to exclude the muberet. "Itzriach lemechtav zera einla," and I need, or the way the Bach has, lemiuti blood. So I'm excluding the muberet and the blood from the woman who's going back to the Bach Kohen. He says, "The ikatavra." Why do I need both? Why do I need one? You know, word to teach me that if she's pregnant, she can't eat the truma, the bat kolein, and another pasuk if she has a child, she can't eat it. So the ikatavra one of zera ain law. If it just said she has no children, I say meikara chad guf bahashta tregupe. I say, yeah. Originally, it's one person. Now she's two people. She can't go back to eat truma. Abu Beret. But if she's pregnant. There's one person, a matekul. I'd say that she could eat truma, I would think. So tricha, so I need the pasuk to include the pregnant case. And if the Torah only taught me the limud by the muberet, which was tinureha, he says, the mikara kupa strika, as I would say, originally she was like, kupa strika is like a woman that's like, you know, empty of children. Like Elon Srak is a non-fruit bearing tree. Bahashta Gupamalia. Now she's a full body. In other words, therefore she can't eat truma. She was empty, now she's full. About Zera Ainla, but it means the limud from Zera Ainla, meaning if she has a child, I would say Mikar Gufasrika, Bahashta Gufasrika. I'd say she, you know, she came in an empty body, now she's an empty body, she could eat the truma, I would think. So it's Aimalo, so I would say that she's excluded from the exclusion, and she could eat truma Srika. So the Gemara says I need both. So again, let's just summarize. So we said that that if she's a bat kohen and everybody dies, so she goes back to the truma, but not the chazei b'shov. But then we said that if everybody's dead, but she still has a zika with the yavam, in other words, she was married to Israel, but his brother's still around and she hasn't wrapped up with chalitza or yibum, then she can't go back to eating truma. She's got to wrap up the yibum and chalitza. And then also, that's one limud. But then there's another limud, kinureha pratin uberet. If she's pregnant and carrying a child, she also can't eat the truma. Then the Gemara thought I could learn with a kava chomer, and the Gemara slugged it up. And then the Gemara said, why don't we need one, you know, phrase to teach me that the uberet is excluded, and one phrase to teach me that the woman with children are excluded. So the Gemara, each one I need, because with the, if the Torah just said you can't have children, so I'd say, yeah, of course, the one person, now it's two people, but Muberet, she's one person, she could eat truma. And if I had the Muberet, I'd say, yeah, the Muberet, she's a different person. She was like, you know, an empty person, now she's a full person, she can't eat truma. But if she's not carrying a child, the child's out of the picture, but she could go back to eat truma. So comments on that. Okay, who's got questions? Questions, comments, and thoughts?
So she's on marriage.
Wait, say again, repeat.
If she's on her second marriage, if she has a child.
Wait. She's a bat kohen and she's married to who?
I have an even more basic question than that, just about Yibam.
I'm trying to figure out what is your question, Bern? Say it.
when you're on your second marriage, you can still fall to a yavam.
Right.
If you had no, I didn't think I realized.
Even if you have children from the first marriage. Okay, fine. Now, what's up? You'll say,
if she's married to a woman, he dies, and she's pregnant, she's still cannot eat, so she has a child.
Wait, is she, what is she, a bat? Wait, you're giving me a different case now.
Bat is still married to a Kohen.
Bat is still married to a Kohen.
He died.
Right.
She's pregnant.
Right.
She cannot eat.
Correct.
Until he's born.
Right. Or she. No. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara, the third line on the two dots. Okay, everybody with me? Okay. So this is, now the Gemara gives the mnemonic device. In other words, like everything was oral originally. So the Gemara gives the mnemonic device for the next piece of Gemara. Simon Amar Le Lo Nase, and then the Arso quoted from one of the Perushim of the Tek Sofrim, should be Amar Le Lo Nase Benase Bemita, Nase Lo Nase Beblad, Yibam Uchruma, Yibam Uchruma Simon. Those are the Simonim for the coming Gemara. Okay, so Amar Le Rav Yehuda, that's the Amar Le. So Amar Le Rav Yehuda discard to the Rava. So Rav Yehuda discards to the Rava, Lo Nase Meitim Tichayim Linen Yibam Mikava Chomer. So we said before that let's say Rachel was married to Reuven. Reuven dies, but she has a child with Reuven. Let's say a 5-year-old, and then Reuven has a brother Shimon. So then she's patur from the Yibam Chalitza. If 6 months later, or a year later, or 5 years later, the child dies, she's still patur. That's what we said. The Gemara wants to say lo nasa meitim chayim linen yibam kavachomer. We should learn a kavachomer. Then once the child dies, now she has to, even if she's remarried, she's got to go back and do chalitza with the brother. That's what the Gemara wants to say. So he says, what's the kavachomer? So when it comes to postling a woman from truma, in other words, a bat kohen that was married several times, so if she has a child from any of the marriages, it postles her from truma. He says, lo asameitim kachayim, but in other words, if she has a child and the child dies, then she goes back to eat truma. Says so. We're not going to say the meitim is kachayim. Makom shlo asav blood lo asa meitim kachayim. Right. So he says. In other words, so the fact that she had a child and now he dies, that changes the whole equation for a bat kohen in terms of being able to eat truma. So, right, in other words, even if at a certain point in time, even if everybody's dead, but she has the child from Israel, and then 5 years later, the child from Israel dies, now she can go back to eating the truma. He says, so when it comes to Yibam, we don't care about the children she had with husband number one. So certainly, we shouldn't say the meitim are lifetime. In other words, that the child who dies is the child who lives. So let me say again, okay? So in other words, in the first case, we're trying to burnish her eligibility to eat truma. So even if she has a blood from the first husband, she's passel from truma. So in other words, we're highly sensitive to passeling her from truma. If she has a child, from any of the husbands, she stops from truma. But even with all of that, we don't say make him our lechayim. We don't say that she had a child and now the child dies that she's passed from truma. In other words, even though we have a high barrier rate or a lot of obstacles, but we don't say the meitim are lechayim by there. So over here by Yibam, we don't care about children she had with the first marriage if she was married multiple times. In terms of Yibam, we only care about the second one. He says, "Ain't no dinsh don't some meitim time." Certainly, we shouldn't have the meitim lechayim. So if it's not true by truma, it shouldn't be by Yibam. So, what's the answer to that question? So, the Gemara is saying logically, it should be if a woman had a child when the husband died, and then 5 years later the husband died, she should wear a chalitza that she's got to do. She may remarry. So the Gemara says, "Tam and Lomar derechet darchi noam b'chol natibot shalom." This is a pasuk we say when we put away the Sefer Torah, maybe when the Shabbos or Yom Tov, if you sing it in shul, you'll maybe think about this halacha that it's ways to ways of pleasantness and all is past of peace. I remember Rabbi Ephraim Wolf would always say that every Shabbos, when they would put away the Sefer Torah. So he says, "Derechet darchi noam b'chol natibot shalom." So if you look in Rashi, the second one line from the top, "Derechet darchi noam." Zushayala Ben will tell you about Amenisit the Shot, who made Bena, and Tomar Tatlots, In other words, if she's already remarried to Zebulun, is her latest husband, now you say she's got to do chalitz with Shimon, harimit ganel bala, like it makes her sort of like detestable to her current husband. In other words, the limud is at the time of death, does she have a son or not at the time of death? And if she has a son then she's patur. That's what the Gemara wants to say. It was ish ki amoru bein ein lo. In other words, if some person dies and he has no son, it means b'shas mita. Doesn't mean like for life. Okay, so that's that piece.
For life, she can never get married.
Apparently, like sounds like in the Havamim, we think she could get married because right now if she's patur, but then if things change, she'd have to do chalif. That's what Gemara thought. All right, let me finish this whole sugya and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so now. Now the Gemara says three lines before it gets wide. Benasim, each one is like juggling the different variables, which we've done already. Benasim meikim kachayim linin truma mikav chomer. Now the Gemara wants to say, again, if he had a bat kohen who has a child with a non kohen, she can't eat the truma. But if he dies, she can eat it. So the Gemara wants to say, Benasim meikim kachayim linin truma mikav chomer. I should use a kav chomer to say, that even if the child dies, she can't eat the truma. How? In other words, for Yibam purposes, a child with husband number one is irrelevant. In other words, she was married multiple times. So the fact that she had a child with husband number one doesn't add up to anything with husband number two. So notwithstanding that, asamaitin kakayim, but the dead are like the Chaim. In other words, if she has a child at the time of his death, even if the child later on dies, she's packed from Yibam. So by Truma, we're even more sensitive to her children. So if she has a child with any husband, you know, who is non-Kohen, she can't eat Truma, she's a Bak Kohen. So certainly, the Meitim should be like the Chaim. In other words, the child that dies later on, we should say it's like a live child and should pass her. It was just like, right. So nasa meitim kechayim. In other words, we should say that even if the child dies, we should still say that blocks her off from eating truma. In other words, if at the time, you know, if at any point in time she had a child that blocked her off from eating truma, the fact that he dies later on shouldn't make a difference. It should block her off. In other words, just like by Yibam, if she has a child at the time of the death of her husband, she's out of the parsha of Yibam. So too here. If at the time when everybody dies, she's got a child with the Yisrael Levi, she should be blocked off from truma for life. So Taman Lomar, Vizera Ein Lo. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says Vizera Ein Lo. If she has no children, Baha Ein Lo. She doesn't have children, so she's going to go back and eat truma. Okay, now, now the Gemara wants to say, he's just moving around the variables, and, you know, he says, we should say that for Yibam purposes, even if she had a child with husband number one, that should talk to her from Yibam, from the husband number two. By truma, the meitim are not like chayim. In other words, once the child is dead, he goes back to eating the truma. We don't say that the dead child is like a living child. But we do say any child she has that's alive and well, whether it's husband number or husband two, blocks her off from eating truma. By Yibam, I know, even if the child dies, it's like alive. Because the child was alive at the time of the death, so even if he dies later on, he's like alive now. So logically, you know, if I see that, you know, that the maiden are chashuv kachayim, so then even if she has a child with the first husband, that should also block her off from yibam, like we block her off from truma. So Talmud Lomar ubein ein lo ba'ein lo. In other words, it says that the last husband doesn't have a child, so she doesn't have a child with him. Okay, now, last piece, and then hopefully this will be it. Now, below nasa blad min arishon, blad min ashen, the truma mikav chomer. Now the Gemara wants to say that for truma purposes, we should ignore her child with husband number one. In other words, she was married multiple times, and she's a bar kohen. So if she has, so the latest husband died with no children, even though she had a prior husband, she should go eat the truma. Mikaba chomer. How so? Ma'aba makom she's a meitim chayim lepotrim and a yibum. Again, by yibum, so the meitim are like the chayim. Even if the child dies later on, she's a patra from chalitza. Lo asav lab and a rishon lab and a sheni. So the child she has with the first husband is irrelevant for yibum purposes. So by truma, we don't say the meitim are like chayim. In other words, we don't say once a child dies and she can eat the truma. So too, we should ignore the child from the first husband. She's got it. Okay. So basically, the Gemara went through a whole bunch of limudim with kavacholmers and things like that. But the bottom line is that for yibum purposes, if she has a child at the time of the death of her husband, the latest husband, in other words, for yibum purposes, the prior husbands don't make a difference. But the present husband, if she had a child at the time of his death, she's off the hook from yibum and chalitza for life. Even if the child dies a week later, it's irrelevant. In other words, she had a child at the time of his death, that's it. You know, and the pasuk is ubein ein lo. He doesn't have a child, but he has a child at the time of his death. That's what we're looking at. And then we said, for truma purposes, so even if she has a child and the child later on dies, then that opens up the floodgates to eat truma for her, and she can go back to eating truma, but she's a bat kohen. Okay, who's the question that comes from anything so far? All right. Hadra lach yesh mutarot. All right, let's keep moving. We have a big Mishnah and more Gemara. I have more to say, but I don't know if we'll have time for what I wanted to say. Now,
when we go in and out of this, do you see that?
Say again, repeat. Wait. Say again slowly and loudly.
It's not so. When we go in and out, when you lose the connection, do you notice that? Because we've been going in and out all night.
No, I don't notice it at all. I don't know. It's quiet here. I don't know whether you have it or not. Okay, I'm sorry that you're having the difficulty. The only thing I can suggest is I'm recording it, so you could listen to the recording tomorrow when I upload it. Okay, now.
Can you just repeat what that pasuk was, Vidrache Hadarche Noam? What was that brought up to show?
Yeah, so we said that we were contemplating the possibility that if a woman, you know, had a child and then she's widowed and her husband's brother is alive, but she has a child, so she's patur from Yibam and Chalitza. But then we thought that let's say she remarries and then the child dies from the first husband, maybe she should require Chalitza now, because now she has no children from the first marriage. So the Gemara says, Drachei Darchei Noam, that it's ways and ways of pleasantness. It means that it's going to create a lot of dissension with her most recent husband.
She's being used to the second
husband. Chalitza with the late husband's brother, you know, that creates like not good. Okay. Hadra lach yesh mutarot. Okay, now. Now, a woman whose husband went to Medina Sayam, we'd say like the Veltarain, he went off. He says, and it sounds like people came, but the Gemara learns it means one witness came forward to testify that your husband died. Now, the Gemara is going to learn, and the sod is that we accept one witness, you know, to say that your husband died, but it was with the presumption that she is also, the widow is going to investigate the matter thoroughly. He says, the needy state, and then she remarries based on the testimony of this one witness. And then lo and behold, husband number one shows up. So now she has to get divorced from both husbands. In other words, the assumption is that she didn't do a thorough job of investigating. In other words, it's one witness, but you're supposed to investigate. So the presumption is she didn't investigate thoroughly. So the Gemara says, so as a result of that, we treat her like the woman who was Mizana. So from husband number one, she's got to get divorced. And from husband, Asra Labala, but Asra Labala. She requires a get from both of them. From husband number one, Midoraisa. Husband number two on a Drabanan level. She really wasn't married to husband number two, but the Gemara is going to explain that if she wouldn't require a get from husband number two, people would think that you get divorced from husband number one, you marry husband number two, you don't require a get or something like that. Now, it says, she doesn't get a ksuba from either one of the husbands and not entitled to compensation for the payroll that they consume, not entitled to support for food, below Bilal, not entitled to compensation for the used clothing. Lo alzeh, lo alzeh, neither husband. If she took money from either one of those husbands after this whole event, then she has to disgorge it. Now, any offspring she has subsequent to this is a mamzer. So from the husband number two, the baday mamzer, because she was married to husband number one. From husband number one, it's a mamzer on the rabbanon level. So, right. In other words, if husband number one shows up, and they say, you know, let bygones be bygones. We're making like a reproach bond, a reconciliation. And then she has a child. So he's a mom's there, drabanon. Now, below Zem Zemetamila, if each of the husbands are Kohenim, and then she dies before receiving a get from either one of them, so neither husband can be metame to her. In other words, a Kohen has a dispensation to metame to his wife, but they can't be metame to her. Below Zebaze, Zakayan, Lobam Siyatab, Lobam Siyatab, Lobam Patran, Nadareha. Neither one of the husbands has a zechus with her metzia, which normally you would be entitled to, that which he finds. Lobam Siyadeha, and there's a quid pro quo, Mizonos for Masiyadeha. So they're not giving Mizono, they're not giving Masiyadeha. It means like that which she produces. Lobam Patran, Nadareha. Neither one has any, you know, control over her afar in Nadarim. Say again? Right. Now, Haita Bat Yisrael, if she was a Bat Yisrael, Nifla Menachuna, meaning, let's say she was a Bat Yisrael, and then the both husbands die before they give her the get. So now, she's Pasul from the Kuna, because she's a Zona. All right? Then, he says, Bat Levi Menamaisir. If she's a Bat Levi, she's permanently disqualified from Maaser, and that's a Knas de Rabbanan. That's a Knas on the Rabbanan level. Ubat Kohen min HaTrumah. She's about Kohen. So here, about Kohen, let's say she gets divorced from everybody. So about Kohen normally goes back to Yitrumah. So she can't go back to Yitrumah, but that's on a Rabbanan level. That's also a penalty. Ve'ein Yorshin shall zev Yorshin shall zev Kubata. Nobody Yorshin's for Ksuba. So the Gemara is going to explain that case. The Gemara is going to explain, it's talking about the ksuba bin dichrin, that the stipulation of the ksuba that her male children will be supported from the ksuba, but you have to wait for the Gemara for that. We made to achiv shalzeh, achiv shalzeh, b'chol tzim lo miyabin. Now, let's say both husbands die before they could divorce her, so, and they both leave brothers, and there are no children from either one. So now, from husband number one, she needs chalitza on a deraisa level, from husband number two on a derabana level. He says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, now Rabbi Yossi disagrees with what we said before. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kubatana Sebala Rishon. Rabbi Yossi says she doesn't forfeit her rights to the ksuba, and the ksuba is collectible from the first husband. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Harishon Zakai Ben Siyatava Sedev Brat Nidareha. Rabbi Lazar says, the first husband, we're not penalizing the first husband from the Metzia the Masedev Brat Nidareha. First husband didn't do anything, and these are his zechuyos, so we're going to give it to him. This is Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yatachlistam, Yachib Sharishon, Poteret Sarata. So Rabbi Shimon disagrees with what we said before. We said before that that the first brother has to do chalitza if the first husband dies. He says, if he does be it, Yibam or chalitza, he says, that potters with Sarah. In other words, there's a dinner yibum. That's the way Reb Shimon holds. The ain havlad mimenu mamzer. Now, he wants to say min havlad mamzer. So he disagrees with the previous Tana. If she has a child with husband number one, who's indeed her true husband, and even though they're prohibited from having relations with one another, but they did have relations with each other, the vlad is not a mamzer. According to Tanakam, it's blah mamzer drabanavon. He knows it's not a mamzer. V'nisei shloberushut. Now, v'nisei shloberushut. This is a little tricky. When it says v'nisei shloberushut, it means somewhat counterintuitively, if two edim showed up and said your husband is dead, so it means it's a case where I did not need the authorization from the bezdin to remarry. Muteret lachzorlos. Then we view her as an anusa. In other words, like. Due to circumstances beyond her control, two Adam came in and said the husband was dead. And then the husband walks in the door, so then she can go back to husband number one she didn't do anything wrong. It's like a woman who was raped. Nisayed al pi beitin, but if she was married al pi beitin, it means only with one aid, teitzei uptur min hakorban. It means then she has to leave both husbands, like we discussed, and she's pturim min hakorban. She's exempt from bringing a korban. In other words, the korban, in other words, if a yachid does something al pi dehorav beitin, so he's not chayav, they're not chayav a korban. So here, she, beitin what said, you could remarry when. Oh, so the Bezin said that, okay, so the Bezin said that she, the Bezin said that she could remarry, but she didn't follow up by investigating the whole situation, but she's proven a korban. Now, Loni said, I'll be bait then. If you want to go to the Loni, come over here. Okay. So we're on page 9 or days, a few lines before the end of the Mishnah. Loni said, I'll be bait then. If she didn't marry, I'll be bait then, meaning that there were two aidim that showed up, Then she has to, I need to watch it again. I'm so sorry. I tell you, you know what? Here, you know what? Yeah, we'll switch. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, here you go. It's okay. Right. So she did it by with two adim. So takes hey. So she has to leave husband number two. Right. Then there was so she and then the husband number one showed up. So she's got to leave husband number two. But if I have a korban, she does bring a korban chatat. In other words, so she had relations with husband number two. So she brings a chatat for husband number two. The effect of adim. So it means the koach to the bezin is superior, shepotrim and a korban, exempts her from the chatas offering. In other words, when she was nisan al pi beitin, she wasn't, she was true in a korban. Now, harua beitin lina saying, now, if the bezin said that she could remarry with a single witness, but then she went and she, like, was behaving immorally with other people, she says, chayevet the korban. So we tear it in the same. In other words, the idea is that if she's following what the Bezdin says, she's not by the korban. But the Bezdin said you could remarry, but she didn't remarry. She just, you know, having a fling and things like that. And then the husband number one walks in the door. Now she's by the korban. Okay, let's do the Gemara quickly and then it'll be it. Okay, now.
Can I ask a question first?
I cannot talk right now. We have a few seconds. Let me just wrap it up. I apologize. Okay, now, the Gemara says, me the Katani Seifa. So in the Seifa of Nisei Shlo Bershut, that if she married Shlo Bershut means that there are two witnesses, Muteret Lachzor Lo, then she can go back to husband number one. In other words, if there were two witnesses, so we view her as an anusa, like circumstances beyond her control, so go back to husband number one. Shlo Bershut Muteret Lachzor Lo, Shlo Bershut Beitin Eleba Edim. It means, so I didn't say right, I apologize. It says Nisei Shlo Bershut means that there was one witness, right? Shlober Shut. Let me go back. I'm sorry again. Okay. In Tani Seifa, right. In the Seifa of the Mishnah, we said if there were two witnesses, then she's not culpable. She'd go back to husband number one. So Shlober, so then we can deduce from this. He says Shlober Shut Beitin Eleba Eidim means her remarriage was out without the court formally, you know, sanctioning it, but El Beidim, fine. So from there, we can extrapolate that the first case of the Mishnah, only one witness showed up. Alma Eidacha Neman. So the bottom line is, when it comes to a woman remarrying, one witness is enough. It's not Nami, we learn also in the Mishnah, so it means, like the Gemara is going to explain, that originally they required two witnesses, and at a later point in time, he said one witness is sufficient. And we have to talk how that works. And I saw Rabbi Stablowski, there's two ways you can take. Either the Dindaraisa, only one witness was enough, and they went back to the original way, that, and then they were Machmir, and then they went back to the original Din. Or, in Achinami, Achin Rabban L'Kiddushimine, the Chachamim came, and they uprooted the Kiddushin in these cases of one witness. So they made it easier. So the way they made it easier is Leon Messina, ABPA, they permitted even like hearsay, in other words, right, the aid, or someone here or another. In other words, Reuben says, Shimon says that the husband is dead. He says, and then Isha, one woman who heard another woman. So it's hearsay, with, and a woman is coming forward. And a woman comes in and she's repeating what an Eved or a Shifcha said. Alma, Edechad Meheman. So that leads me to concluding that one witness is Neheman with this. It's not Nami. We learn also, Edechad Omer Achal Techela. If one witness comes and says, Wait, Chela, forbidden fat. Who Omer Loa Chalti? And he says, absolutely not. I did not eat the Chela. He says, Patur. He's Patur from a Korban Tatar. So Tamad Amar Loa Chalti. The reason is he says, Bebadas, I didn't eat. He says, Ha'ishtik Meheman. So if he would be silent, Mistami, we believe. Alma Edechad Meheman. So we see that one witness is believed. So the Gemara says, where do we know this? From the Torah, that one aid is Nema. That works better with the first side, but the Gemara is going to reject this, so you see where it's headed, though. So he says, some of the Tanya, it says, Ohodai Lav Chatato. He says, it became known to him his Averit. So I got a Korban Chatat, the Lo Shiyudu Acherim. Not that other people come and tell him, it is the person himself has to know. Yechol Av Pishinamaki Show, Yehi Patur. I might think that they come in and they say it, and he doesn't. You know, controverted. He says, "Tam Lomar, Ohu Doilav Mikomakom." In other words, however it became known to him, it was the person has to admit that he did it. Otherwise, not going to find the Korban Chatat. But if people come in and say you did it, he doesn't say anything, so I'm going along with it. And he's like, "So hey, Chidani, what's the case?" Listen, I'm running out of time, but I apologize, but that, we got to go. Okay, nice to see everybody. Let me end the recording, and then we'll talk for 5 seconds. Okay, 1 minute. 1 second.